Just a quick heads up that I am currently on maternity leave, which means that the Fertility Co podcast is taking a break. But please don't panic because I am already working on some exciting things behind the scenes. And when I come back, I'm really looking forward to sharing with you a brand new, completely free mini course all about ovulation and finding your fertile window. In the meantime, there are still heaps of ways that you can continue to learn about your fertility and your menstrual cycle while I take a break. If you're just getting started with charting your cycle, you can check out my free fertility roadmap. If you want to dive deeper and learn exactly when you're ovulating, then you can watch my Fix Your Fertility Masterclass. There is, of course, also my Conceive with Confidence workshop series and, of course, my flagship online program, Fertility School. If you want individualized support from a trained fertility educator, that's me, then you can book in to my waitlist for a one-on-one consult, and I would love to work with you to achieve your fertility goals in 2024. Spots are strictly limited though, and links to all of those resources are in the show notes. Hey, Rachel here. I wanted to put a little trigger warning at the beginning of this episode. As I'm sure you can tell from the title, I'm going to be talking about infertility. And while this episode was created to give hope and support for those who are having fertility struggles, I know that this content won't be for everyone. So if you're in it right now and you're still processing, or if you're not yet ready to hear about it, that's totally fine. I encourage you to hit pause and tune back into another episode later. I don't want this podcast to cause any distress or upset for you. I'm Rachel, and I'm obsessed with all things periods, pregnancy, pelvic floor, and helping women just like you to navigate all of life's major milestones. I'm a physiotherapist, a natural fertility educator, and my passion is teaching women how to take control of their health. Fertility, pregnancy, nutrition, and menstrual cycle health, we'll dive deep into all of it right here. All those questions you've been secretly Googling, all those things you're too embarrassed to ask your doctor, because, well, we're women. Shouldn't we just know this stuff? So get comfy and get ready to finally have all of your questions answered. Hit subscribe now and let me teach you what they never taught us in health class. Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the podcast. Today, I'm calling it. It's time we all stop using the word infertility to describe fertility struggles. They are not one and the same, first of all. I work with and I speak with so many women who've been trying to conceive with no success, but these women are not necessarily infertile. So in today's podcast episode, I want to make something really clear. While one in six couples may struggle to conceive, one in six couples are not infertile. Do not let the label of infertile stick unless you have definitive proof. I say this with so much love, but it's something that a lot of people, I think, need to hear. Please know that I'm not in any way trying to lessen your experience to say that you're not struggling and that it's not something that is incredibly hard and painful when you're trying to conceive and not getting anywhere. Trust me, it's the ones who are struggling who are reaching out and sharing their experiences and working with me and struggling along with me day after day. So I want to talk today in this episode about what I recommend instead. And a lot of this is about changing your mindset and your way of thinking about infertility and fertility struggles. And it starts with mindset. Instead of describing yourself as infertile or experiencing infertility, I want you to describe yourself, if you are in this boat, as experiencing subfertility. I want you to be realistic about your timelines. Instead of expecting to get pregnant at your first go of baby making or panicking when it doesn't happen straight away, understand on average that it takes couples 6 to 12 months to conceive. Perfectly healthy couples, that's how long it can take. You can certainly speed up the process by understanding your fertile window and timing sex for around ovulation, but that's still not a first try guarantee. And instead of feeling lost, feeling confused and defeated at this label that's been slapped on you, take it as a sign that while your fertility may not be optimal right now, there are some simple changes that you can make to optimize ovulation and boost your chances of conceiving naturally. And instead of panicking at the prospect of IVF, get informed about your fertile window and ovulation and make sure you have the basics like timing right first. These are the conversations that nobody is having. And this is the episode that has been cycling around and around in my brain while I've been on maternity leave for over a year now. It felt a little bit too heavy to be the very first episode that I returned with, but it's also something that I think does really need to be said, and no one else seems to be saying it. And I think the word infertility is being thrown around so much in this space. Maybe I'm just noticing it because of the space that I'm in. But even though I haven't been recording podcast episodes, I have been in my DMs and my emails pretty much every day, and the conversations that I'm having with women is really opening my eyes to how prevalent this problem is becoming, and it's something that I'm very passionate about, which I'm sure you'll be able to tell throughout the episode. So the first reason I want you to rethink your use of the word infertility, first of all, is that it's not necessarily correct. So there is no single clear answer for when trying becomes infertility. Now, a couple is clinically considered infertile if conception hasn't occurred within the first 12 months of trying. A more accurate definition, though, from the World Health Organization is a disease of the reproductive system defined by a failure to achieve a clinical pregnancy after 12 months or more of regular unprotected sexual intercourse. Can you see the difference in those two definitions? The World Health Organization comes straight off the bat with a disease of the reproductive system. There's a reason for it. That's the main thing that I want to get across there. So some doctors will recommend investigation after 6 to 12 months of trying if nothing's happened, and especially more towards the 6-month mark if the woman is over 35 years. But I think the problem is that too often there are two groups of people who are being bunched together into this category of infertile: those who are sterile and those who are subfertile. So only 2 to 4% of couples are considered sterile or truly infertile, which means there is zero chance of conceiving naturally. You are, on the other hand, considered subfertile if you've been trying unsuccessfully to conceive for more than a year. And this is also known as delayed childbearing. Delayed, again, not impossible. And this is where most of these people that are traditionally classed as infertile would fall into this category. So if you've been trying to conceive for more than 12 months with no success, it indicates that something is likely going on in the background that is a barrier to pregnancy. But again, it does not mean you are infertile and that it will never happen. Most people are not infertile. Most people will have reduced fertility, subfertility, for any number of reasons. So it's a matter of working out what's contributing to this and moving through a list of potential lifestyle factors to address it. We should not be jumping straight to the infertility diagnosis and IVF without exploring these lifestyle factors first. In case you haven't grasped this already, I strongly dislike and rarely, if ever, use the word infertility. Don't at me if you found me using it somewhere in the past. I refer to couples with fertility struggles who have had no success after 12 months as subfertile. So I want you to change your thinking about this word right now too, and I encourage you not to use the word infertility. Infertility sounds definitive, absolute, final, no way to ever change this. Subfertility, on the other hand, isn't so final. It's less than optimal. So let's make some changes to make it more optimal. Your fertility is a marker of your current health status. So subfertility is a sign that things can very likely be improved with the right tools and support. Like I said, it's a matter of working out what's contributing to this subfertility and moving through our list of factors to address it until ovulation is optimized and pregnancy happens. Number 2 reason why I do not like the word and never use the word is that it's demoralizing. It's a label nobody wants applied to them, and it's a label that is being thrown around too loosely right now. So I speak with perfectly healthy women who are in the process of conceiving or even preparing to conceive, and they are so incredibly stressed out and worried that they are infertile when they've been trying for a month or two. This is not something that should be even crossing your mind when you're this early in the conception game. While I do think speaking out about how common it can be to have trouble conceiving is really important, and it's absolutely fantastic that people are getting more comfortable sharing their experiences and talking about what was once a really taboo subject, but it's not black and white. people with a large audience and a following, celebrities and so on, are sharing their struggles, and this is helping women to feel less alone in their struggles, to recognize and appreciate just how common fertility problems are. It's now 1 in 6 couples that are struggling to conceive, but like I said, 1 in 6 are not infertile. And it's that lack of fertility education that young women are actually getting in the first place that is the problem. I'm not saying it's not important to talk about. I'm not saying it's not a reality, but it's causing so many women to genuinely think they have no chance of conceiving and that their only option is IVF, when that simply isn't the case. And it's demoralizing. So this is why I encourage being really realistic about that conception timeline when you are preparing for your own conception journey. Unless we go actively looking for it, we do not have access to realistic timeframes for conception. So we get that 6 to 12 month window if we talk to a doctor, and that's what a doctor's working off to. So you can be completely confident in identifying ovulation, know you're getting the timing right, be in peak physical health, and know that it's totally normal for it to take 6 months to conceive. If you don't have the timing right, if you're not having sex in your fertile window, it doesn't matter how healthy you are. It doesn't matter if you try for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, your chance of conceiving outside your fertile window is zero. We all have someone in our lives who got pregnant instantly. So a friend, a sister, someone who doesn't have to do anything at all, and they pop out these healthy babies without a second thought. So we have one group of women who secretly expect to get pregnant their first try, even if they don't admit it to themselves or to anyone else. That's okay. They officially start trying, and then it's like, oh, it didn't work. And then we have another group of women on the opposite end of the spectrum who have no reason to worry, and they're going in from the start almost expecting to struggle. And when male partners know even less than we do, they do nothing to ease our minds or to help us to have realistic expectations, because they don't have any either. So we start to Google. We end up on forums and chat groups where other women share their experiences, and this completely skews our perception of what is normal. And the very worst thing that we can do to women that are already at a hugely vulnerable time in their lives is to suddenly, out without warning, slap this label of infertility on them, or potential infertility on them. It's hard enough that it's not happening. It's hard enough that you might now have to start down this path of investigating further, seeing a specialist, getting extra testing. And every time you pick up the phone to make an appointment, the label is already firmly attached. You're making an appointment for your infertility. The word is suddenly being thrown around constantly, and even though you don't identify with it, you haven't processed it, even if you have no definitive answers yet, you're going to believe you're infertile pretty fast. Compare all of this to someone who potentially sat you down and explained to you that you have subfertility. Your fertility is not optimal right now, which is affecting your ability to conceive right now. But let's talk about how to optimize things. Do you understand your menstrual cycle and ovulation? Can you confidently identify your fertile window and make sure you've got the timing right? Have you explored lifestyle factors that could positively impact your hormone balance and ovulation, which can then maximize your chances of conceiving naturally? That is the conversation that is missing between trying and struggling to conceive and the label of infertility and almost immediate discussion of IVF and assisted reproduction. I'm a realist. I am not living in a fairyland where I think that everyone will be able to conceive naturally just by following my advice, if only. But it sure as hell maximizes your chances. It gives you back control. It reassures you that you have explored every possible conservative measure and you've eliminated every potential cause for your struggles. And that's one of the first conversations that I have with any woman I work with. I feel like the very best and the very worst diagnosis that anyone can give you is unexplained infertility. It's the worst in that it gives you no answers. It's the too hard basket. It makes you feel completely out of control. Nobody can explain what's happening or why things aren't happening. But I interpret this diagnosis to be, we don't know what's wrong. We don't have any more tests we can do. So let's just slap on the label and move on with IVF, because that might work for you. I've said before that IVF is wonderful technology, and it's incredible to be able to give couples the chance to have children that otherwise couldn't. But it's also a multi-billion dollar business that will get you signed up without actually sitting you down and teaching you these basics. And that's why I do what I do, because every couple deserves the opportunity to explore all of their options before going down that path. And a lot of medical professionals just don't know about this stuff either. So we go to our GPs and they refer on. They look at numbers and they make definitive statements like your partner's sperm count is too low, you'll never conceive, without any kind of discussion about possible causes of low sperm count, how most of them are temporary, how they can be improved with simple lifestyle changes. Can you see why I am jumping up and down about this one? We need to change our thinking. So about one third of the time, fertility problems are unexplained. And like I said, this is an incredibly frustrating diagnosis to have, but I like to see it as one that gives the most hope, in my opinion, because there is no obvious explanation as to why pregnancy isn't happening. So if there's no obvious explanation, then we just need to find the problem and correct it. It's obviously not a physical problem. There's not a blockage. There's nothing missing. There's nothing seemingly broken. The most common cause here is usually mistimed intercourse, and that, more often than not, in the absence of any other problem, is the reason why you haven't yet conceived. And that's where understanding ovulation and making a few lifestyle changes can have enormous effects. If it's not mistimed intercourse, the next most common fertility problems are issues with ovulation. And these are most often cases where no definitive cause is found. This is where that unexplained infertility comes into play. This is when you get your diagnosis of that. So lifestyle changes related to diet, exercise, and reducing stress have all been found to significantly improve your fertility status. One Harvard study found that a preconception protocol was associated with lowering the risk of infertility by 69%. 69%, that is really significant, but nobody is talking about it. Nobody is talking about these lifestyle changes that you can make. We need to change our thinking. Just because it's been over 12 months and you're not pregnant, this does not mean you are infertile. This does not mean you have no chance of conceiving naturally. Unless you have evidence to prove otherwise, you are subfertile. By learning to identify ovulation, by making some small and simple but hugely impactful lifestyle changes that optimize ovulation, you can drastically improve your chances of conceiving by 69%, according to that Harvard study. Unexplained infertility can be a positive. It means we can't find anything definitively wrong that could be preventing you from conceiving. I see that as no news is good news. This means you are not sterile. This means you are subfertile, and this means there is hope. Change the language that you use around fertility. So think about what fertility is. It's not just about getting pregnant. It's your potential to conceive if and when the timing is right for you. A fertile body is the highest state of health, a body in optimal condition, and your hormones are the very first point of disruption when the body is under some form of stress. And hormone disruption will impact ovulation and your menstrual cycle. But if you don't understand ovulation and your menstrual cycle, then you'd never know that it had actually been impacted. So when you think about fertility as a state of health and an indicator of your current health status, then it's easier to think about how this can be improved with the right support, tools, and guidance. Think about the basics that we as a society now take for granted. People first language. So you're not an infertile person. You are a person with fertility challenges. Challenges are challenges. They're hard, but they're not impossible. So this episode subject is the one I have spent the most time thinking about over the past year. Given the work I do, I'm very fortunate that I conceived after 3 cycles, and I know that that is a drop in the bucket compared to many women who reach out to me and many women who are listening to the podcast right now. I hear your stories firsthand, and I hear the stories of people in my own life, and it's upsetting and it's frustrating because that middle step between trying and the label of infertility is not happening. And it's a simple conversation. It's some education, and it can absolutely make the world of difference and save a lot of couples, not only a lot of money, but a lot of stress and heartache too. And so whether or not you're currently struggling to conceive, whether or not you're preparing to conceive and you're not officially trying yet, I want you to change your thinking and change the way you use these words, because words have power. And sometimes we need to take away the power from some of these words for our own sanity and peace of mind. So I really encourage you not to use the word infertility to describe your or anyone else's conception journey. I encourage you to use the word subfertility instead, unless you've been specifically tested and told that you are sterile, which remember is only about 2-4% of the entire world's population, I encourage you to think about fertility beyond making babies and think of it instead as that state of health, the same way that your menstrual cycle is an indicator of your health. And if your fertility and your menstrual cycle are telling you that your health is suboptimal right now, then there are absolutely things that can be done to improve your situation, which will hopefully have the potential to significantly improve your chances of conceiving. The first step you've already made by listening to this podcast and learning about your body. And the next step is making sure you have the right support and guidance if you need it. So next time you're having a hard time, when you're not getting the answers that you want to hear, and you're feeling completely overwhelmed with what to actually do next, please know that you are not alone. I feel your frustration too. There are some really tough parts about preconception and trying to conceive, no doubt about that. And sometimes getting pregnant is really hard. So look instead at the huge opportunities that exist. If nobody is giving you a clear reason as to why things aren't happening, see that as a positive, because there are no clear reasons as to why things aren't happening. See that as an opportunity to dive into your cycle and your fertile window, to explore what changes you can actually make to optimize things, optimize your fertility, because if they are suboptimal, it's not a complete write-off. I hope you found value in this episode. It's something a little bit different to what I usually talk about. It's not so much a how-to, it's me on my soapbox today. I hope you found it helpful, and I'm really curious to know your thoughts. So please reach out to me on Instagram. I'm at Fertility Co. I'd love to know if you've ever heard the word subfertile before, or if you've wondered if there's been a word to describe this sort of situation and just not known what the word was. I'm really curious to know your thoughts. You can get today's show notes with everything that I've talked about in this episode, as well as links to freebies and other related episodes at my website, fertilityco.com.au/47. While you're there, please make sure you also jump over to fertilityco.com.au/masterclass to save your spot for my free live Fix Your Fertility Masterclass that is happening next week. Even if you can't join me live, if you sign up, you will get a replay sent to your inbox afterwards. And in this masterclass, I'll be teaching you the 3 simple steps to find out exactly when you're ovulating without relying on tracking apps or testing strips. And I'm also giving away my step-by-step fertility charting framework for pinpointing ovulation day and predicting your next period so that you know exactly when you can or can't get pregnant. So you'll discover the biggest fertility mistake that most women don't even know they're making and how to fix it, the best way to identify when you're fertile and pinpoint ovulation day without apps, testing strips, or complicated tracking systems. I promise you can do this in under 5 minutes a day. And I'm also revealing the one thing that you need to get pregnant quickly and naturally, or to use a natural method of birth control that is equally as effective as the pill, only without the side effects. If you're listening in real time, that is happening on Thursday, the 23rd of March. I will put a link to it in the show notes as well, and you can learn more there or sign up at fertilityco.com.au/masterclass, and hopefully I will see you there. Bye for now, and don't forget that knowledge is power. I am absolutely feeling that after today's episode. When you truly understand your body, you are empowered to make informed decisions and take control of your health. Until next time. If you've made it this far, you deserve a huge virtual hug because you just finished another episode of the Fertility Co podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday, so make sure you hit subscribe now so you don't miss when the latest goes live. Why not make my day and leave me a quick rating and review while you're over there? If you want more, head on over to Instagram at Fertility Co, slide on into my DMs and say hello, or you can visit fertilityco.com.au/podcast for show notes and access to all of the freebies that I talked about in this episode. Until next time. Let's talk about TempDrop. TempDrop's wearable sensor and accompanying charting app brings the full fertility tracking solution right to your phone. Wear the TempDrop sensor on your upper arm during sleep and then just sync to the charting app whenever it's convenient for you.
TempDrop believes that every woman should be empowered and equipped with the knowledge to take control of their body. Sound familiar? That's where TempDrop steps in to provide clear, science-backed technology to help you to better track your cycle. I only recommend products that I use and love my TempDrop tracker. You can get 10% off your tracker with the code AFFertilityCo or head to fertilityco.com.au/TempDrop for more information.